Right, so there's no visitors. There's no apologies. Anyone request any leave of absence? No questions. Deputations. Confirmation of previous minutes. Offers of recommendation 7-1. Can we have the mover, please? Rick, seconded John. Any questions? No dissenters, that is carried. Any declarations of interest? Moving right on. Recommendation of the committees. These are the minutes of the Local Emergency Management Committee. So can we have that item 10-1-1 move, please? Anthony, seconded Justin. Questions? Dissenters? Carried. 10-1-2 with a correction there. Council receives the minutes of the Shire Mini Audit Risk Committee held on the 5th of June 25. Mover, please. Thanks, Helen. Seconded Alex. Again, questions or statements? Dissenters? No, it's carried. Financial Management Review and Regulation Review. Committee recommendation 10-2. There's a lot there. Would someone move, please? Helene, seconded. Alex, questions? Any dissenters? It's carried. Item 10-2-3. Which is the new administration apologies? Policies. Can we have a mover, please? Alex and Justin seconded. Again, questions? Dissenters? It's carried unanimously. Moving on to the Chief Executive Officer, the RAV access application, Belinda Road and Eleanor Street. The officer's recommendation is 11-1. Can I have a mover, please? Alex moved, seconded John. Now I'll open this up for questions and or...
Yeah, Mr. President, can we make a correction to the summary in the report where it says 42 metres, that should say 36.5 foot? Just in the summary there, they are not 42 A triples, super triples, it's only a standard 36 metre vehicles. So that's my error, sorry.
36.5. Essentially, they're asking the same, all the same length load except of a trailer drive instead of a
drive. Another set of drive wheels on the prime mover, that's correct.
Okay. What is Main Road's position on this?
Position. Through Mr. President, I've spoken to Main Road's Heavy Vehicle Services. They're for this application, supporting it. However, I suspect that Main Roads Geraldton, who are also a referral agency like we are, will have concerns over the Morrawa Road with any additional weight on the Morrawa Road. It's probably debatable whether if you add an extra axial set to the heavy vehicle combination, it's only increasing the total weight of the load by 5 tonne. So you're actually probably reducing the axial loads on the pavement. In that sense?
My only comments on the matter would be that the tri-drive would create a lot more impact on our residential tight turns. I think the impact on the actual highways is probably negligible, I think, for a tri-drive versus a tandem. But certainly, special consideration would need for our... the tightest turns are through our... So we've got a turn at Belinda Street, the turn at Eleanor Street, and the turn back onto Midlands Road. So I think some further investigation would be needed for the impacts of a tri-drive with the way it screws around those corners, or some sort of remediation works or a study at how they're going to turn the corners, because it will turn differently. And I think that's probably not underestimated in the application or non-existent in the application.
Through Mr. President, would the RUA not, road use agreement, not cover that because it covers all maintenance activities on that route?
Correct. Yep, absolutely. Yep, but there will be more impact. There could not be, not have more impact with the try screwing in tight turns. Or maybe a reduced speed limit again on top of that, because it is a different setup. But apart from that, I'd be happy to support the application because I don't think the extra few tonne on a dry drive would have any more impact than what they're doing now. The length is the same, but there is some, probably some, yeah, some
so
problems.
Do you notice it coming out of their depot where they are turning onto Nunnally Road or whatever it's called? Where they turn and then get going, the damage to that road is significant.
Yeah, but I mean, they're pulling four trailers out of there, so it's a bit different. Yeah. Helen, you had a question? Let's go to that.
Yeah, just I've got a couple. Just confirming that the actual trailer configuration doesn't change.
Through Mr. President, that's correct. It's only the extra axial set on the prime mover.
Yeah. So I understand from there's a great main race fact sheet actually about tri drive versus the dual thing, but that it actually reduces the load on the road. So it's probably better for the road surface itself, but it increases surface scuffing. And I had the same concerns about, as just Councillor Badley just articulated about, because we've got three tight turns in our small section of road, what that means for us, but since they do already have the obligation to implement this, I feel pretty comfortable that we can manage that. The other thing that I sort of was wondering about is I understand with our tri-drive it does increase the stopping distance a bit, so in terms of safety and pedestrian safety, car safety on our main road, which they go down, is there any, and obviously going through CBH and the extra truck traffic that has during harvest, is there anything we need to be aware of in terms of increased safety risk?
It could actually stop better because there'd be an extra drive axle to brake. And this permit also would be usable for local residents and ratepayers as well. Not that there's any around, but it is an option that hasn't been available previously to any ratepayers in the area.
These trailers must be shorter than standard because they wouldn't fit a C train under a try. If they were standard length trailers, would they?
We fit an 8-wheeler under 36.
8-wheeler is totally different.
Same length, but
But I mean, you've got to have the amount of clearance from the back of your prime mover to your first axle group.
And I assume they should have explained that they've probably got this application in because the majority of their fleet are tri-drive trucks with the suitable measurements to fit. So I'm assuming that's where the application's come from.
Yeah, and to clarify that, Mr. President, they're PBS vehicles. So they'll have a completely separate design that'll make that work.
Yeah,
so that'll make them work. Because they've got to be specifically designed.
Yeah, well, they've got to stay inside that 36 and a half.
Yeah, that's right.
And their axle spacings must be correct for their level 3 as well.
Are they level 3s on that?
Mm.
I thought they were.
Oh, well, there's another bit of confusion. They're applying for level 3, so yes, it is level 3 available, but they've got their own, whatever that permit's called, CEO there.
PBS.
Yeah, but they've got their valve right under the iron ore one. It's called the...
Oh, the GCC permit.
Yes, so they operate a separate different one. They let them cut iron ore, basically, in the Midwest of Geraldton.
Rick, you had a question?
Yeah, just concern with turning. With the tourist season coming up shortly, we've got to be careful that we don't congest the parking area across the road from the bakery. They're going to find it hard coming out of there if they're loaded and then trying to get back onto the Midlands Road with caravans and such, and they'll be trying, that would be a hard turn coming out of there. So I think we need to address that problem somehow, that they can only come in empty and can't park into that parking area loaded. And also, it's probably not, I'll bring it up at the time now. I'd like to see them not use their exhaust brakes coming into town. I don't know how those people are living on that bit of road. They just...
Not well.
Yeah, they need to have a sign erected at the top of the hill on the western side of town to not have the...
I think you'll find that those tri drives, they would have a silent exhaust brake. The exhaust brakes you'd be hearing would probably be the older trucks with the subcontractors.
Yeah.
These, I don't know, I haven't driven any... have you got a silent... John, your truck would have a silent exhaust brake?
Not too silent, no.
Oh, see, ours are silent. You can hardly hear it.
Yeah, no, I've heard one just before coming to the meeting. Those, like I say, those residents there, they would not be impressed with what's happening, and it's got to be stopped. It's too noisy for them.
Well, the truckie that lives there, he'd probably do it. Yeah, okay, well, that's probably a different subject.
Yes, I know, sorry.
But it's good to raise the
point. Yes, I think with the congestion, we've got to address that to make sure we don't have them trying to pull out. And it does congest up there, well and truly.
Well, it seems to be a little bit of... This officer recommendation is to refuse the application. There seems to be a little bit sort of support for it within the group. Shane, do you want to say something?
Just an observation with their turning. Like, a lot of the trucks... Like, I know it's not our road, it's Main Road Road, but the Midland... Mullumar Road, they're dropping off the other side then really badly. And if they're going to take a little bit further to go around... they're going to drop off a lot more. A
hell of a lot of them park there. They just pull off the road.
Oh, no, right at the intersection of... Eleanor Street and Meenu Mullawa Road. They're dropping off the far side. You know where your old CBH sign is that falls down the post all the time? Right there. That turn circle there. It's just an observation to...
Helen?
What recourse or do we have to, you know, perhaps like that's a Main Roads road, to work with Main Roads on that? Because, I mean, obviously that's one of the tight turns that we're talking about. Do we have any ability to condition an approval based on Main Roads?
What I'm thinking, and as I said, there's a little bit of some sort of support within the group here. I think we need more information.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have these questions about the turning circles and the extra traction, how it disturbs roads? Can we find out if we can request there no exhaust brakes? And just perhaps get them to send us some more information before we actually...
Through you, Mr. President, this has been waiting to come to council and they're getting very impatient about this one because we didn't have a May meeting. So they really want it sorted. We can condition no exhaust brakes. We'll just tell them, you know, it needs to be on their approval. No exhaust brakes to be used in the urban area.
But in fairness, that's got nothing to do with this application. That's a separate matter. Mm-hmm. That's not.
It's an operation condition, so it can still go on them. So they can do that. Councillor McTaggart's question about Main Roads and Shane was talking about Eleanor Street and Mullawar Road, which is,
Mullawar Road, it's called there.
Which is a Main Road road.
The Main Road. So, yeah, we could talk to Main Roads about what we can do to improve the turning circles, see if they're going to do some windings or something. So we can ask.
As a side note, this will include harvest time for contractors and farmers, so they will be using dry drive trucks at harvest time if this gets up.
Opens it up.
Well, there's two things. So I can put the motion, and if it's defeated... or if it's passed, that's the end of the question. If it's defeated, we can perhaps come up with a new recommendation.
That's right.
Can I?
Yes, go on, Rick.
Are they still doing their 100 k's, or are they speed limited?
70. Oh, look, I don't know, but that's out the open road. Does it really affect us?
It can't.
It says 70 kilometres in their application.
That's made for local roads. That's not us. That'll be if we're running this on our local roads. We can't.
I'm just concerned with the if they are still within their in their meterage, that they're not shortening up dollies or something like that.
No, they're not allowed to, Rick.
No, they're not allowed to. They've got to have it all right.
You've got to have your
it's
going to be 36.5. Yeah, so all they could have done, they must have shortened their trailer somehow or other.
Yeah.
To fit that.
The actual spacings are set.
Yeah.
Got to be wrong.
Yeah. You can't just sort of hook up trailers and think that'll be honky-dory.
Yeah, no. But I was just wondering whether they're shortening up stability between axle groups. But they can't change that.
No, there's a minimum, absolute minimum that you must have
between your dolly
axle groups.
All they're doing is running the pin on the front trailer.
Yeah.
And running the turns over the centre drive and getting their spacing drop from there.
Mm. Okay, well, look, we've had plenty of chit-chat. Oh, sorry, another question?
Just one more question. Thank you, Mr. President. Just there was an insinuation in the officer recommendation that it would reduce the number of truck movements. I just, at the moment, they can have up to 100 truck movements a day, so the tonnage quoted in the application is significantly less than that.
Yes, through Mr. President. The tonnage quoted in the application was 1.6 million tonnes per annum, I think it was.
Yes.
Which is more than what their other approval relates to. If you do the sums based on carting 1.4 million tonne per annum, which was what this originally was all about, it'll be less truck movement, slightly. But what Councillor Tagus say, you could still cart more.
Well, that's what I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, my initial thought was that, oh, this is going to mean, you know, four less trucks a day,
yes.
Full, so eight. But then I thought, no, it's just, like, it's probably just the same amount of trucks, but just more tonnage. So, I mean, I would be in favour of it if it meant less trucks and a better standard of living for our residents, but I'm not convinced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough. One page is enough information to go on.
Justin, help me here. If they go to a tri-drive and they get their M3, will they be able to pull the 23.5 tonne on the tri-drive up from the 17?
That's where their extra tonnage has come from. The only place it's come from is that they'll go from 17.5 to 23.
Well, no, it's 6 tonne, actually.
I don't know what it says, but that's their extra. It's only everything else is the same. Yep, so it's 23.5 up to...
Yeah, but the truck will be a tonne or so heavy, so it's about four tonne load. Mm. So that's how much? 4 tonne on...
The length can't be any different. There,
60 tonne, so it's only... That's about 8% less trucks. There you go. Okay, look, let's just proceed. We have the officer recommendation there. We have a mover and a seconder. Are there any amendments to that recommendation? If not, ask for a show of hands, all those in favour of that recommendation. Against? So the recommendation is defeated. Which means that you need to say that they can run their trucks on this road, I guess.
Well, we probably need a motion
that
approves, supports the application. Mr. President, and with the addition of limiting exhaust brakes in the urban area.
Are you just going to rejig this motion?
Can I just also note in your officer recommendation that if we choose to accept the application, you suggest the removal of the school bus thing. I'm actually not in favour of that being removed. So the conditions around not driving during school bus runs, although school bus currently doesn't go down that road, it doesn't mean it won't in the future. So I'd like school bus, that specification around school bus runs kept in there.
In fairness, Helen, Matt's comment there, that's straight out of the RAV7 policy of ours, like, meaning its design's been written to suit a RAV7 on a gravel road. It's not written to suit our application in front of us. That's why the max speed, the school bus and all the other bits and pieces in there, that's the standard RAV7 conditions on a gravel road, all our gravel roads.
Yeah,
so that probably shouldn't be in there, to be fair. That should be whatever we want it to be, but all that about the speed, the school bus, the radio is all designed for our local roads with RAV7 permits, not the town streets.
The application is about the trucks being on our roads, not the main roads.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it...
And only on Eleanor Street and...
Correct, Linda.
Nowhere else.
That's all.
So we've got no control over...
So all that school bus thing shouldn't be in there because it's not... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no exhaust brakes in the urban area.
And how do we put something in there about maintain constant surveillance of the turning points due to...
We've already got that.
We've already got that MRO, so you've got it in there, it's covered.
I think that's probably all you need to put in there today. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where Main Roads goes on this. So, No exhaust brakes used in
the area. Is it the correct terminology? Because I don't know that we can actually restrict it. I don't know how you can enforce that. Because we're actually making a law of the road that's against the law of the land.
I guess it can be a guide car rather than an actual fixed thing. Quite often, leave it out and do it again. Limit the use.
Well, particularly after dark or something like that.
Subject to limited use of exhaust brakes. Limited use. Of exhaust brakes. Being used in the open
area. I mean, should it be where possible? Because, I mean, obviously safety first.
It's just driver. You just slow down before you get to the hill, don't. Yeah, just driver management.
And does the 40k still exist?
That's part of the GCCC approval. Yeah.
So by opening it up to other road users other than just David Campbell's, so we potentially have try drive trucks at harvest time. Is that?
It'll be on the RAV route. Yes. Well, there was already 4.1 into the CBH site, which is interesting.
There was.
Did you see that?
I knew that was there. But it's not near. It wasn't near else.
Okay. Is there anything? Someone want to move that latest recommendation, please? John's moving. Seconded. Alex. Any further questions? Any further additions? I'll put them all up. There you go. Are there any dissenters? Right, it's carried in as a piece. Thank you, Aaron. Mingyu Landfill. Officer recommendation 11.2. I'll move it, please. There, Rick has seconded. Come on, Anthony, you haven't been up for a while. Anthony seconded. I'm looking around and nobody's looking at me, so I had to pick on someone. Any questions? Helene?
Just with the $12,000 a year into that reserve, is that something that's gone into the LTFP, or how will that be raised?
Correct, Mr. Mayor, it's in the LTFP. And just so you all know, Council, this is a number one audit item from our auditors. Have you got a sinking fund, I suppose you might call it, for the rehabilitation of your landfill at the end of its useful life? We didn't have a report that stated what that should be. This is the mechanism to do that. So it's to make sure that those funds get put aside every year into that account. Yes.
and some wise counsel in a few years' time will see that bloody great bucket of money there and use it on something else. Good luck.
I'm just going to ask that question. Can that be done?
It's a reserve that the council sets up and you just put a title on it.
Yep.
We've changed them over the years and we take some money out of one reserve and use in another one.
I thought that you had to use the money in the reserve for the thing that was there for.
Yeah, but you can change it a little bit. We've done it before.
Is this supposed to take that out of the recording?
Anyway, we've got a mover and a seconder. Any dissenters? Carried. Item 11.3, mover please. Anthony, seconded. Justin, questions? Yes?
Just wondered if, is this something that then we would be audited on or could potentially form part of a future audit process? Reg 17, how is it going to be policed?
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor, it'll come up on your audit regulation. Mr. President, did I say that? So it will come up because it's a regulated thing. So either the council will come up with its own communication agreement or it'll fall back to the draft model agreement, but it will be checked, I'm sure.
Any further questions?
There was some contingency in there for some smaller councils, some on some clauses, but is there any ability to be flexible for us as a smaller council with limited resources to manage the minimum requirements on that?
Pardon me, through Mr. President. Oh, look, we probably have to get to the end of the consultation phase to see what the government's going to do. There's a lot of talk about it being way too prescriptive. And, you know, onerous. I'm not sure it's really much more onerous for a large council than a small council. If you keep this thing simple, all it means is if a councillor asks a question, there's now a process in place with how that councillor is responded to, and everyone else gets a copy of that response normally, which is a pretty standard practice in the eastern states. So, and that's why I've said, you know, not to make a submission, because it's good practice. The only concern is, will the regulation tie it up in knots like it doesn't need to? So if you read the way it talks about, you know, there's an administrative request, there's a request for information. I can elect other council staff to be able to be contacted by councillors. Now, these are all pretty standard things. And it's just really documenting that and making sure there's a process in place. And, of course, now there's some key performance indicators, such as you've got 10 days to respond to a councillor request or an administration request. You can't talk to officers on weekends and when they're at home at night. I think that's wrong because that's based on a city model. That does not work in a regional local government arena. So I think there are some of the things you might... I think if you go above and beyond what it says here, I think you're fine. I don't think you'll be able to go less than what the regulation probably says. And it's a bit vague. It doesn't quite say much about that. They're probably wishing everyone just adopts the model pro forma, but I think you'd have to remove some of that, or you'd have to open that up a bit, because it's not unreasonable for a councillor to talk to a CEO... you know, or a senior staff member, if there's... they wouldn't ring them if it wasn't a significant issue. So, yeah.
Happy? Any dissenters to the recommendation? It's carried. Item 11.4, the Town Hall Management Policy. Someone move, please. Alex moved, Rick seconded. Any questions? Helene?
Question just in terms of approved users, the term approved users. There's no specific definition of approved users. Is that to be determined by Shyster, because there's a number of uses listed there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, is that going to limit to those uses, or how is that being left specifically to TBC?
Can I have a crack at that one? Sure. Sorry, Mr. President. I think the intent of that is, if you're going to hire the hall, you become an approved user if that hire is approved.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
I think that's, yeah, I don't think you'd want to try and identify who that would be, because we don't really know.
So those uses listed in the policy are examples, not a complete list?
Correct.
Because
we never, you never know what you're going to get.
There might be something that we just don't want there, you know, given the state of the hall at the minute. You know, if and whenever it gets renovated, well, you draft up a new sort of policy.
Yep.
But it's basically only for what it is at the minute.
Just a question to the CEO. You had structure, is it? Check out the structural.
Structure.
Have you received the final report yet on...
Through Mr. President, no, we haven't. So Structair sent the individual to take photos and have a look, and that person, I think, was a building inspector, wasn't an engineer. It was interesting that he clearly said that column is not going to have to make the hall fall down. So I think he was actually quite pragmatic and practical in his approach. He'll give the photos to the engineer makes the final determination. We're going to give them some information about, we've already removed the back stair, whatever that was. We've already boarded that up. The beam's going to be fixed next week, and then concrete encased up to ground level to remove that risk from the future. And we're going to, he was the one that actually came up with the suggestion of removing the ceiling. So, you know, as far as, you know, changing that, that'll change probably the tone of that report. The brick stitching is really window dressing, cosmetic, and it can be done at any time. It's not hard to do. I've looked into all that. It's not a hard thing. So it's more about now is council satisfied that it has done what it needs to do to be in all reasonableness to minimise its risk of public safety for the use of that hall, which is the work we've done and the policy we're implementing.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Hard word to say.
Right, any dissenters? Being none, it is unanimously carried. Item 11.5, community benefits for renewable energy projects, etc., etc. Someone move, please. Helene moved, John seconded. Any further questions or comments? Yes, Helene.
I just have some commentary around some of the terminology and detailing your response to it, Matt, and that is specifically sponsorship has been listed as a community benefit, and I think that this council should be pushing back on that. Sponsorship is an exchange of commercial value. It's short-term in nature, and it goes against the other definitions of community benefit in that statement, in that document, which talk about legacy, and sponsorship is not that. It's also short-term and small, and just from previous experience, as this community knows, there's a danger of just those community benefits being hidden within small sponsorship arrangements that don't actually contribute to the full community and the legacy of what the investment should be. The other thing is around there's other considerations section. It talks about how when there's neighbouring LGAs and it's within a different LGA, but the neighbouring LGAs or the surrounding LGAs are impacted. There's some terminology around other LGAs should be consulted. I think that we should push back on that terminology, that should be must be consulted, because I think that a lot of this will be taken quite literally. And, for example, Minganew may not have many of the infrastructure within its actual boundary, but will be significantly impacted, and the communities which those landholders are part of is Minganew rather than the LGA they're actually part of. I didn't agree with your commentary provided around stipulating that local government should be the recommended model for community benefit distribution. I think that there should be some form of flexibility around that. I agree with the models presented, only because I think it's all well and good for us when things are going well, but you know, if there's an issue with local government, it could be that like that money is actually tied up within that. So I'm in favour of those three models that have been presented. I think local government should definitely have to be a stakeholder.
Can I just ask Councillor McTaggart, sorry, through Mr. President. When we were at the forum, they actually wanted us to nominate which one would be the preferred model. And the biggest issue that we all had was some of the other models don't have the governance or audit framework around them that local government currently has. And that's why we actually thought local government was probably best placed because of its highly regulated nature at this point in time. So we were asked to nominate one model.
And that was pretty common here. But this is a recommendation. It's more about developing the draft guidelines. Those points that you're raising will come out when that draft is further developed. So really we only need to address this item here at the minute, and then when the guidelines come out, then we can pull in, take out, add on.
Isn't this what we're commenting on?
Yeah, sorry, Mr. President. We're making comment on the draft guidelines,
yes,
on what we feel is good, what we think needs to change. So I would really like to take Councillor McTaggart's points, and they will actually further inform. I think we've probably covered the points in the resolution of what we need to discuss, plus some of those other things Councillor McTaggart included, so, which would be great.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. They'll come out when we develop what actual guideline will be. This is not actually the finished recommendation, is it?
No. Through you, Mr. President, this recommendation is so that we do a submission and address the matters that are in the resolution as part of our submission to the to Energy WA.
Who will then, they will have the final say, as it were, on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my comments are just to feed into inform as the council staff, executive, of what my opinions are around that in the best interests of the community. I guess because very aware that our next meeting is not until August, and so that the submission period is probably going to be within that time frame.
Do you want to have the submission presented to council as a, you know, interim measure?
Through Mr. President.
Before it's sent away so that it can comment. It doesn't necessarily have to be before a meeting, I wouldn't have thought.
I can circulate that to council prior to finalising the submission for any other feedback. That would be great. Because the document is also open for public referral to the 4th of August. How about we do that?
Right. Thank you. Any further questions? Any dissenters to that recommendation? Carrie, thank you. Major land taxation business case. Item 11.6, a mover, please. Justin and Anthony seconded. Questions? Any dissenters? That's carried.
financial reports, corporate services. Officer recommendation 12.1. Mover, please. Helen, he seconded John. Any questions of Helen? Helen, is there anything you wish to add? Any dissenters? That is carried. Item 12.2, which is the list of payments. A mover, please. Anthony seconded Rick. Same thing. Anything? Any questions for Helen? Helen, wish to add anything? Any dissenters? It's carried. Here we go. This is an interesting one. Item 12.3. Mover, please. Alex seconded Helen, was it? I thought you saw your arm there.
Yep.
Mr. President, Helen would probably like to comment on this one.
Please.
So at the time of this report being completed, we were notified that the property was up for sale. After the agenda went out, we actually had notification that it has been sold with a settlement date of the 1st of July, but we still don't know whether the settlement will go through on that date, so we still want this to go through. Just on the off chance that it doesn't go through on the 1st of July. So in this case, if it does go through, we'll start getting rates, which is about $1,900 that we haven't been getting previously.
So to clarify that, it won't be transferable with the sale?
No, it's only for the Murchison Regional Aboriginal Corporation.
Just sold, though.
They say it's a charity.
Yes.
Because they'll put some of their brethren in the house and not charge them rent, apparently.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thanks, Helen. Any further questions? Any dissenters? That's carried. What else have we got? Budget review amendments for fourth quarter. Item 12.4. Mover, please. Helene seconded Alex. Questions? We've had a bit of a rundown a minute ago. Thanks, Matt. Helene?
Helen, there was something written in the budget amendments around 50% reimbursement for interim audit for $26,352. Can you just explain that?
So when the OAG advised us of the indicative figure for the 24-25 annual audit, they said that when our interim was completed, they will charge us 50%. So we're just paying that 50% up front, and then the other 50% when we actually do the final.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Any dissenters? Unanimously carried. Thank you. Long-term financial plan, item 12.5. Mover, please. Rick seconded. John. Again, questions? Dissenters? It's carried. Thank you. When the trains are left, have to go quieter. Adoption of the budget. Suspend standing orders for presentation. Well, we don't need to do that. We've been presented. What's the amendment mean? Oh, that the standing orders, was it?
No.
Item 12.6, got a mover, please. Helene seconded. Alex. Questions? Oh, my gosh.
Helen, do you want to explain the amendment?
Yes. So when the attachment went out originally, it was a balanced one, but we've had another review of it, and the amendment is in regards to note 3 of the actuals column. So it doesn't affect the budget figures at all. It's just the in the actual budget report, the list of statutory budget Note 3 has been updated for the actuals. And also that part B, I think it is?
Yes.
Yeah. What was put in the original recommendation was the 10% rate increase, and it wasn't updated to the 7.29% increase, so that just got updated as well.
Any further questions? Yes, Helen?
I have a couple and then a statement. Depreciation calculation, that's something that we've been brought up by auditors previously. Are you now confident, or is the CEO now confident that the estimated depreciation in our budget is accurate, or as accurate as can be?
Through you, Mr. President, when we get our revaluation done this year, we'll address some further anomalies in the valuation, which will probably reduce our depreciation in some areas. Buildings may change, may go up, don't know. But yeah, we've still got a little bit of work to go, but that'll happen when those revals get done, because that'll generate the new depreciation schedules. And one of them is our reseal valuations are overstated at the moment, we know that, but that doesn't get addressed until you do the reval. So, yeah.
The other one was around, I just wondered whether, in terms, we have a local government election coming up in the next budget cycle, previously we haven't had any promotion budget available or promotion done specifically around trying to get people to nominate. So this isn't actually the promotion of the councillor nominees themselves. It's actually general promotion within the community and ratepayers around the benefit, like trying to get people to nominate in the first place. Given that we've had a number of extraordinary, had to go to extraordinary elections for the last two elections, I was hoping that we could do some kind of short promotional campaign and engage a professional marketing agency to be able to provide some social media and print content to actually explain, I suppose, the councillor experience, give people an understanding of what a councillor does and the types of benefits or value that a councillor, being a councillor, can bring to the community, but also, I guess, to people professionally and personally. And I think we'd need a little bit of budget and some professional services to support that. I'm just wondering if there's any possibility to include that in this budget as an indicative figure, or if there's some form of promotion budget you already had in mind.
So, through Mr. President, we had a chat about this one, and we think there's adequate funding at this point in time in the promotions budget. So, to cater for that, and you know, if you got to your quarter three budget review and you needed more in that as a result of other things, then we would change that then. Mm. But we think there's adequate capacity in there to do it. Yes, and it's a great idea.
Further questions? Yep.
I just have a statement. in favour of the budget, I just wanted to take the opportunity to say this budget is a budget that's quite significant in our recent history of council, because it is taking on a $1.7 million loan. It's an approval for that, and that's quite significant, because when I came into council, we were, I sort of came at the tail end of previous council's hard work of trying to reduce the overall loans figure of the Shire, and we've been at zero, no loan for the last, I think, 3 years. Also, one of the key criteria or key goals of the current president has been to build up our reserves in our reserve funds, and which we have done significantly, and we've built that significantly over the last 5-6 years. So I think we're in a really good position to take on this loan, which is quite significant for a council of our size. But I think that president and council and CEO and executive should feel very proud that we've got ourselves to this situation where council feels confident going ahead and taking on that loan to invest in some really important infrastructure for our community. It's probably the biggest infrastructure build and spend we have done in a very, very long time, and I think it just shows our commitment to, you know, improving the our shire and our essential workers' housing standards in this community, and also our commitment to our community members that we want to continue to have essential services and great government services and staff located in this community.
Thanks, Eleni. Any further questions? Any dissenters to that officer recommendation? It is passed unanimously. Right. Officer recommendation. Do we do these now?
This is where we mentioned through this president. This is a bit of an anomaly at the moment because you've got to go and set these appointments now. You have elections in October and you have to redo these appointments after the elections. We asked the department to forego this one and I think they didn't understand what we asked them to start with, but anyway, they haven't come back and said we cannot do it, so we have to do it.
You'd almost think you'd just leave everything exactly the same until...
Can we vote to leave them alone?
Until after the... the forthcoming election, because you're going to have to do it all again.
The requirement comes into effect as of 1 July.
Can we roll back to see who the current
one's at?
So if this is the list of chairpersons, but this has the appointed members.
In the bracket, in the italics.
Yeah. So usually the first elected member listed is the current chair.
What's the process here? Do we need to nominate or...?
Okay,
do you want me to go first?
Just nominate the whole
thing,
stays the same.
I'd like to nominate everyone that's listed on the that's currently listed there in those positions and is the first member listed being the presiding member of those committees.
And the second one being the deputy. Oh, we haven't got that one to be able to complain to you. A whole of council. Oh, that's right, I'm going to call that in.
Through you, Mr. President. Can I suggest that you just make the Shire President the presiding member for that committee, and obviously you can adjust that depending on who the potential complainants are. I do not have a mover or a seconder recorded currently.
Helen, we moved and Anthony seconded. I'm sure there's no dissenters, so we'll move on. And a review of delegation and update of register. Item 13.2, mover please. Alex seconded. John, any questions? Any dissenters? That is carried. The Corporate Business Plan Officer Recommendation 13.3. Mover, please. Rick, seconded. Anthony, questions? Do you have a question, Helen? I just saw your thumb go up. So they've done everything just right. Okay, no further questions. Any dissenters? It's carried. Voting delegates for the State Council. Item 13.4. Well, we can't move it yet because I've got a name there. I will go if you think it's appropriate. Everyone's blowing their head. No, she was not dead like flat out.
Yeah.
We'll appoint Gary.
It's a good social event, isn't it? I've got friends ago, they can start their social.
So, someone move item 13.4, please. Justin, Anthony seconded that council appoints myself and Matt as voting delegates for the Wagga State Council. Any dissenters? It is carried. And I thank you all for your attendance. I don't think there's any.
Can we just,
new business?
Mr. President, thank the Corporate Services Department for their fantastic effort in putting their budget together. Mm-hmm. It's a long slog and hard work each time they do it, and it's great to see how well they've done it, and we've done it again in June, so well done.
And we all endorse those words.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, with that, I'll close the meeting at 5:57.